Would you pray with me? God of Epiphany, we long to hear your holy word in fresh ways. Open our ears to the call of your voice. Open our eyes to the dawning of a new day. And fill us with anticipation for your future. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Listen for God's word to you. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written: But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Have you ever found yourself in a place you never expected to be? Have you ever asked yourself, "What am I doing here?" Somewhere around probably 10 or so years ago, Paul and I traveled to China. We were visiting our son Ryan. He lived there at the time. And at one point, we found ourselves in this lovely, crowded park. It was October 1st in a place called Kunming. And it was in the midst of the national celebration of 60-plus years of the People's Republic of China. And there were families having picnics and people standing in circles singing. And, you know, we went on this swan paddle boat, whatever. It was just this lovely, you know, scene. It was kind of like the July 4th celebration here in the U.S. And I remember thinking, I'm in China and we're celebrating. Like, what? What am I doing here? And I thought, how many other followers of Jesus might be in this crowd? We know there's not a lot of Christianity in China. And so I kind of offered a prayer of blessing for the nation, for the people. And I thought, well, oh well. Just last March, Paul and I went to visit our daughter-in-law, Hailing, and grandson, Austin, in New York, while Ryan, now they live in the U.S., was out of the country. And after dinner, we discovered that Hailing was beginning labor 6 weeks early. And I spent the night in the hospital with her, resting on a cot in her hospital room. And every time I would doze off, then I would wake up because a medical person would come in and check on her. And I can remember thinking, what am I doing here? And again, I would just offer a prayer for that situation at hand. I bet you have all had unexpected experiences, too, where you wonder how in the world you ended up in such an unlikely and unexpected place, sometimes because it's a good thing, and maybe sometimes not so good. What am I doing here? Well, today we're taking one last look at the Christmas narratives before we plunge into the new year. The second Sunday after Christmas is known as Epiphany. It's a celebration of the arrival of the Magi. You may hear them called the wise men or the three kings, to view the Christ child. Epiphany means a revelation. So then here it was a revelation of the divine, of God, the Son of God. I think it's worth exploring how these people, these scholarly pagan priests, ended up visiting the Christ child in Bethlehem. What are they doing there? Why are these Magi part of the story of the birth of Christ? I did a little bit of digging to learn some important facts about the Magi. The word magi has some mystery associated with it. In the ancient world, the word magi often was used to describe a member of the Persian priestly caste, or even was a word for magician, those who possess supernatural knowledge and power. But in the New Testament, the word magi is used to identify those who possessed what they called secret wisdom, astrologers, men who gained special insight in world affairs from the observation of the planets and the stars. The magi were not Jews. They were Gentiles. Actually, they were pagans, because astrology was forbidden in the Old Testament. So in some ways, they were some of the most unlikely people to show up in a positive light as part of the story of the arrival of the King of the Jews. The Jewish culture would not have looked upon these men with favor. Yet God has had a specific plan and purpose for the presence of the Magi, and one that can help us as we embrace the possibilities of our new year and the places we may find ourselves. So let's take a look. The story takes place after Jesus was born. Remember, the shepherds visited the newborn baby right after the birth, but the Magi came later. They first went to Jerusalem, making inquiries about the birth of the King of the Jews. There were probably these astrologers studying the stars, and the tradition of that time was that the appearance of a new star heralded the birth of someone destined for greatness. A star signified something momentous and unprecedented, so the appearance of an unusual star would gain their notice. Now, why would they connect this star with the Jewish expectation of a Messiah? Well, they were wise men. They sought wisdom. And there were pockets of Jews dispersed all over the world. And men such as the Magi would have studied the Old Testament scriptures and the Hebrew writings. They would have been familiar with the prophecies that predicted the arrival of a Jewish Messiah. These men dabbled in so many things, and although they had knowledge of Jewish tradition and writing, their interest really was probably more political, not really theological. They didn't believe or practice the religion of the Jews. Yet God, in his sovereign wisdom, chose to use the Magi to set forth an announcement of the birth of the Messiah. They noticed this star, and they knew that prophecy from Numbers that says a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. And they set out to follow it and arrived in Jerusalem, where they make inquiries. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him. Are you curious about what that star was? To this day, scholars don't really know. They're still speculating of its origin. Was it a comet or a nova? Was it a convergence of planets? I just read where some biblical scholars think that star was an angel, shining brightly and leading the way. There's something mysterious and supernatural about that appearance. No one knows for sure. And as the story unfolds, we see the Magi are excited in their quest, but not Herod. When the king hears that the Magi have arrived in Jerusalem to ask about the birth of the King of the Jews, he's threatened. He calls himself the King of the Jews. He calls for the chief priests and teachers who only verify what the Magi are inquiring about, that Christ would come from Bethlehem in Judea. They quote the prophet Micah to confirm that news. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Notice Herod, after consulting the Jewish priests, he calls the Magi and meets with them, but in secret. For sure, any public meeting between King Herod and the pagan Magi would be bad for his reputation. So he pumps them for information and sends them with instructions to return. Herod was so confident in his plan to manipulate these Magi into helping him, it's later revealed, as we know, he had a plot to destroy the child by killing all the babies age 2 or younger. He doesn't even send an escort or a guard with them. And so after a stop in Jerusalem, the Magi continue on their journey. They went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped at the place where the child was. And when they saw this, star. They were overjoyed. See, they were so excited. It really wasn't, again, a spiritual journey. They were following the clues, really, so to speak, on what they thought was the announcement of birth, some kind of a king, a mighty ruler. They were curious. They were engaged in this pursuit. Did they understand who they were about to encounter? Whereas Herod, who was much more a religious figure, was disturbed by the prospect of this newborn king of the Jews who threatened his place and power, the Magi had a sense of anticipation. They came to the house and they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Something happened when those Magi encountered that mother and child. Something happened that changed their perception of their quest and their goal. Something shifted in their reason for being in that place at that time. Notice the word child is used here, not infant. Jesus was no longer a newborn. The actions of the Magi, they bowed down, they worshiped, are words that are used in the New Testament only to describe worshiping God. The Magi were demonstrating a truth God wanted revealed. This king of the Jews, was also the king of the Gentiles. It's also the king who ruled over the pagan Magi. Was also the king of all humanity. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. They brought gifts that represented great wealth. Their act of worship recalls Old Testament passages where leaders of the Gentile nations present the wealth of the nations as gifts to the king of Israel. And it looks forward prophetically to a time when all the nations, honoring the coming of the Messiah, one day every tongue will confess, one day every knee will bow. Whether or not they knew it, the Magi were fulfilling prophecy. Think about it. Could the family use those gifts? In the very practical sense, as we read along in the story, Joseph would soon be instructed in a dream to take Mary and Jesus and flee to Egypt. Would not these valuable provisions of gold and incense and myrrh help sustain them as they lived in exile for several years? And just as an aside, I visited Egypt about 10 years ago, and everywhere in the Egyptian churches, Christian churches, the flight to Egypt is very prominently portrayed. I think there's a great sense of pride in Egypt that they were part of the story of the story of the birth of the life of Christ in some way. It says, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Plans had changed. The Magi continued to be privileged recipients of this divine guidance, being warned in a dream. They did not return to Herod. Somehow, their perception of authority had been changed. Since we do not know for sure where the Magi came from, we can only speculate the route that they returned on. They must have traveled, though, quickly, probably by night. They didn't want to encounter any of Herod's military security in the Roman Empire. Whatever, though, the inconvenience or hardship, they did it. They had seen and worshipped the child Jesus, the true King of the Jews, and the hope of Gentile seekers. So do you think the Magi might have had a few moments of asking themselves, what am I doing here? They left their homes, probably traveling with camels and servants and such, to follow a sign in the sky. Might they have wondered, what am I doing following this star? What am I doing having a secret meeting with a king? What is it about this child that the star shows me as the King of the Jews? What is it about him that brings me to my knees in worship? Why am I giving this child my most precious and valuable treasures, gold and incense and myrrh? And what am I doing on this road, traveling by night, trying to sneak away and avoid meeting King Herod again because I've been warned in a dream? If I were to answer them, I'd say, well, God's using you for his purposes far greater than you can understand or imagine. God wants the world to know. He can use anyone he chooses to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Even pagan Gentile astrologers with curious minds about the Hebrew scriptures. He can use them to let a corrupt king know the real king of the Jews has arrived and the world is about to change. He can use them to provide a means for the Holy Family, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, to survive in the flight to Egypt with the gifts of the treasures provided by the Magi. And he can use their actions and their acts of worship to demonstrate to the world, the whole world, that this child has come not only as the King of the Jews, but as the King of the Gentiles, the King of all humanity, the one, the only one, worthy of worship and adoration. So how can the story of the Magi bring us some insight in our new year? Well, God can use anyone he chooses to accomplish his purposes, whether or not they are aware of it. God might use unlikely people in your life and mine in unlikely situations to fulfill his purposes and demonstrate his power. Are you open to listen for God's truth wherever it might be found? Sometimes you might find yourself in the most unlikely person, in the most unexpected situation, somehow doing what God wants done. Maybe not in China, maybe not in a hospital room, but in places and situations where only God can lead. There are hurting and suffering and needy people all around us who need what we have, a prayer, a provision, a presence, a glimpse of the truth of God's great love. Are you willing to be available? We should expect God to be directing us each day, even when we may not be asking. Proverbs 19 says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. And we need to be willing to be interrupted, to change plans, to listen for the direction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the interruption is the call. It's the invitation. Perhaps an inconvenience, but in truth, God's direction. Are you willing to be interrupted? As we cooperate with God, we can expect adventures. We can expect to see God doing surprising things that he lets us in on. Things grand or sweet, secret or beautiful, that cause us to wonder at his love. Years ago, there was a perfume commercial. The catchphrase was, expect the unexpected. I love that phrase. Are you willing to be adventurous? Are you willing to expect unexpected things to happen? Being a follower of Jesus is an adventure. It's a journey, and it's a daily experience of submitting our lives to the one who knows better than we know how each day can be lived. I pray that any time this year we ask ourselves, what am I doing here? Whether in a place of great joy or a place of even deep suffering, that you and I can say, this is where God's placed me. He's allowed me to be for this moment or for this day or for this season. And my desire is to serve him and worship him with all that is within me. May we offer our lives anew this day to love and to serve the Lord. As we begin a new year, let's think about where are we going in this new year as we seek God. We have an advantage over the Magi because we have a relationship with Jesus. We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us that assures us that he's with us and in whatever he brings into our life in 2020. We know God can lead us to places we never expected or anticipated or counted on, but we can trust he is in control, that he is working out his plan and his purposes through us. In the new year, I challenge myself to be open to the possibilities of unexpected ways we may be useful to God. I think we can plan to find ourselves in places we never expected, Plan on asking yourself maybe a few times this year, in wonder or astonishment or even panic or sorrow, what am I doing here? And remember, it's not about us. It's about Him. Being open and available for His purpose, trusting that the Lord is with us through it all, so that we may in all ways give Him honor and glory. Would you pray with me? Just as the Magi followed the star as it led them on a mission according to your purposes, Lord, may we too follow you with expectant and open hearts to the places of service to you and to your kingdom that even now you have prepared for us, your people of Calvary and Field. May all be done to your honor and glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.